The Vision of Hell. By Dante Alighieri. Translated by Reverend Henry Francis Carey, M.A. and illustrated with the 75 designs of Gustave Barre. Canto I. In the midway of this our mortal life, I found me in a gloomy wood, astray. Gone from the path direct, and e'en to tell. It were no easy task, how savage wild. That forest, how robust and rough its growth. Which to remember only, my dismay, renews, in bitterness not far from death. Yet to discourse of what there good befell, all else will I relate discovered there. How first I entered it I scarce can say. Such sleepy dullness in that instant weighed my senses down, when the true path I left. But when a mountain's foot I reached, where clode the valley, that had pierced my heart with dread, I looked aloft, and saw his shoulders broad, already vested with that planet's beam, who leads all wanderers safe through every way. Then was a little respite to the fear that in my heart's recesses deep had lain all of that night, so pitifully past. And as a man, with difficult short breath, forespent with toiling, scapped from sea to shore, turns to the perilous wide waste, and stands at gaze, e'en so my spirit, that yet failed, struggling with terror, turned to view the straits that none hath passed and lived. My weary frame, after short pause recomforted, again I journeyed on over that lonely steep. The hinder foot still firmer, scarce the ascent began, when, lo, a panther, nimble, light, and covered with a speckled skin, appeared. Nor, when it saw me, vanished, rather strove to check my onward going, that oft-times, with purpose to retrace my steps I turned. The hour was morning's prime, and on his way aloft the sun ascended with those stars that with him rose, when love divine first moved those its fair works, so that with joyous hope all things conspired to fill me, the gay skin of that swift animal, the matine dawn and the sweet season, soon that joy was chased, and by new dread succeeded, when in view a lion came, gainst me, as it appeared, with his head held aloft and hunger mad, that e'en the air was fear struck. A she-wolf was at his heels, who in her leanness seemed full of all wants, and many a land hath made disconsolate ere now. She with such fear overwhelmed me, at the sight of her appalled, that of the height all hope I lost, as one who with his gain elated, sees the time when all unwares is gone, he inwardly mourns with heart-griping anguish, such was I, haunted by that fell beast, never at peace, who coming o'er against me, by degrees, impelled me where the sun in silence rests, while to the lower space with backward step I fell, my ken discern the form one of one, whose voice seemed faint through long disuse of speech, when him in that great desert I espied. Have mercy on me, cried I out aloud. Spirit, or living man, whate'er thou be. He answered, now not man, man once I was. And born of Lombard parents, mantuan of oath. By country, when the power of Julius yet was scarcely firm, at Rome my life was passed. Beneath the mild Augustus, in the time of fabled deities and false, a bard was I, and made Anchises' upright son the subject of my song, who came from Troy, when the flames preyed on Ilium's haughty towers. But thou, say wherefore to such perils past return'st thou? Wherefore not this pleasant mount ascendest, cause and source of all delight? And art thou then that Virgil, that wellspring from which such copious floods of eloquence have issued? I with front abashed replied, glory and light of all the tuneful train, may it avail me that I long with zeal have sought thy volume, and with love immense have Connecticuted it o'er, my master thou and guide. Thou he from whom alone I have derived that style, which for its beauty into fame exalts me. See the beast, from whom I fled. Oh, save me from her, thou illustrious sage. For every vein and pulse throughout my frame she hath made tremble. He, soon as he saw that I was weeping, answered, thou must needs another way pursue, if thou wouldst scape from out that savage wilderness. This beast, at whom thou criest, her way will suffer none to pass, and no less hindrance makes than death. So bad and so accursed in her kind. That never sated is her ravenous will. Still after food more craving than before. To many an animal in wedlock vile. She fastens, and shall yet to many more. Until that greyhound come, who shall destroy her with sharp pain. He will not life support. By earth nor its base metals, but by love. Wisdom, and virtue, and his land shall be. The land twixt either Feltro, in his might, shall safety to Italia's plains arise. For whose fair realm, Camilla, virgin pure, Nisus, Euryalus, and Turnus fell. He with incessant chase through every town shall worry, until he to hell at length restore her, thence by envy first let loose. I for thy profit pondering now devise, that thou mayst follow me, and I thy guide will lead thee hence through an eternal space, where thou shalt hear despairing shrieks, and see spirits of old tormented, who invoke a second death, and those next view, who dwell content in fire, for that they hope to come, whene'er the time may be, among the blessed, into whose regions if thou then desire to ascend, a spirit worthier than I must lead thee, in whose charge, when I depart, thou shalt be left, for that almighty king who reigns above, a rebel to his law, adjudges me, and therefore hath decreed that to his city none through me should come. He in all parts hath sway, there rules, there holds his citadel and throne. O happy those whom there he chooses, I to him in few barred by that God, whom thou didst not adore. I do beseech thee, that this ill and worse I may escape, to lead me, where thou saidst that I St. Peter's gate may view, and those who, as thou tellst me, are in such dismal plight. Onward he moved, I close his steps pursued. Canto 2. Now was the day departing, and the air, embrowned with shadows, from their toils released all animals on earth, and I alone prepared myself the conflict to sustain, both a sad pity, and that perilous road, which my unerring memory shall retrace. O Muses! O high genius! Now vouchsafe your aid! O mind! That all I saw hast kept safe in a written record, here thy worth and eminent endowments come to proof. I thus began, Bart. Thou who art my guide, consider well, if virtue be in me sufficient, ere to this high enterprise thou trust me. Thou hast told that Silvius' sire, yet clothed in corruptible flesh, among th immortal tribes had entrance, and was their sensible present. Yet if heaven's great lord, almighty foe to ill, such favor showed, in contemplation of the high effect, both what and who from him should issue forth, it seems in reason's judgment well deserved, Scythia of Rome, and of Rome's empire wide, in heaven's empyreal height was chosen sire, both which, if truth be spoken, were ordained and established for the holy place, where sits who to great Peter's sacred chair succeeds. He from this journey, in thy song renowned, learned things, that to his victory gave rise unto the papal robe. In after times the chosen vessel also traveled there, to bring us back assurance in that faith, which is the entrance to salvation's way. But I, why should I there presume? Or who permits it? Not Aeneas I nor Paul. Myself I deem not worthy, and none else will deem me. I, if on this voyage then I venture, fear it will in folly end. Thou, who art wise, better my meaning knowest read, than I can speak. As one, who unresolves what he hath late resolved, and with new thoughts changes his purpose, from his first intent removed, e'en such was I on the dun coast, wasting in thought my enterprise, at first so eagerly embracked. If right thy words I scan, replied the shade magnanimous, thy soul is by vile fear assailed, which oft so overcasts a man, that he recoils from noblest resolution, like a beast at some false semblance in the twilight gloom. That from this terror thou mayst free thyself, I will instruct thee why I came, and what I heard in that same instant, when for thee grief touched me first. I was among the tribe, who rest suspended, when a dame, so blessed and lovely, I besought her to command, called me, her eyes were brighter than the star of day, and she with gentle voice and soft angelically tone her speech addressed, O courteous shade of Mantua! Thou whose fame yet lives, and shall live long as nature lasts! A friend, not of my fortune but myself, on the wide desert in his road has met hindrance so great, that he through fear has turned. Now much I dread lest he past help have strayed, and I be risen too late for his relief, from what in heaven of him I heard. Speed now, and by thy eloquent persuasive tongue, and by all means for his deliverance meet, assist him. So to me will comfort spring. I who now bid thee on this errand forth am Beatrice, from a place I come. Note, Beatrice. I use this word, as it is pronounced in the Italian, as consisting of four syllables, of which the third is a long one. Revisited with joy. Love brought me thence, who prompts my speech. When in my master's side I stand, thy praise to him I oft will tell. She then was silent, and I thus began, O lady. By whose influence alone, mankind excels whatever is contained within that heaven which hath the smallest orb, so thy command delights me, that to obey, if it were done already, would seem late. No need hast thou farther to speak thy will, yet tell the reason, why thou art not loath to leave that ample space, where to return thou burnest, for this center here beneath. She then, since thou so deeply wouldst inquire, I will instruct thee briefly, why no dread hinders my entrance here. Those things alone are to be feared, whence evil may proceed, none else, for none are terrible beside. I am so framed by God, thanks to his grace, that any sufferance of your misery touches me not, nor flame of that fierce fire assails me. In high heaven a blessed dame besides, who mourns with such effectual grief that hindrance, which I send thee to remove, that God's stern judgment to her will inclines. To Lucia calling, her she thus bespake, now doth thy faithful servant need thy aid and I commend him to thee. At her word sped Lucia, of all cruelty the foe, and coming to the place, where I abode seated with Rachel, her of ancient days, she thus addressed me, thou true praise of God. Beatrice, why is not thy succor lent to him, who so much loved thee, as to leave for thy sake all the multitude admires? Dost thou not hear how pitiful his wail, nor mark the death, which in the torrent flood, swollen mightier than a sea, him struggling holds? Ne'er among men did any with such speed haste to their profit, flee from their annoy, as when these words were spoken, I came here, down from my blessed seat, trusting the force of thy pure eloquence, which thee, and all who well have marked it, into honor brings. When she had ended, her bright beaming eyes tearful she turned aside, whereat I felt redoubled zeal to serve thee. As she willed, thus am I come, I saved thee from the beast, who thy near way across the goodly mount prevented. What is this comes o'er thee then? Why dost thou hang back? Why in thy breast harbor vile fear? Why hast not courage there and noble daring? Since three may so bless thy safety plan, e'en in the court of heaven, and so much certain good my words forebode? As florets, by the frosty air of night bent down and clothed, when day has blanched their leaves, rise all unfolded on their spiry stems, so was my fainting vigor new restored, and to my heart such kindly courage ran, that I as one undaunted soon replied, O full of pity she, who undertook my succor. And thou kind who didst perform so soon her true behest. With such desire thou hast disposed me to renew my voyage, that my first purpose fully is resumed. Lead on, one only will is in us both. Thou art my guide, my master thou, and Lord. So spake I, and when he had onward moved, I entered on the deep and woody way, Canto 3. Through me you pass into the city of woe, through me you pass into eternal pain, through me among the people lost for aye. Just as the founder of my fabric moved, to rear me was the task of power divine, supremest wisdom, and primeval love. Before me things create were none, save things eternal, and eternal I endure. All hope abandon ye who enter here. Such characters in color dim I marked over a portal's lofty arch inscribed, whereat I thus, Master, these words import hard meaning. He is one prepared replied, here thou must all distrust behind thee leave, here be vile fear extinguished. We are come where I have told thee we shall see the souls to misery doomed, who intellectual good have lost. And when his hand he had stretched forth to mine, with pleasant looks, whence I was cheered, into that secret place he led me on. Here sighs with lamentations and loud moans resounded through the air pierced by no star, that he nigh wept at entering. Various tongues, horrible languages, outcries of woe, accents of anger, voices deep and hoarse, with hands together smote that swelled the sounds, made up a tumult, that forever whirls round through that air with solid darkness stained, like to the sand that in the whirlwind flies. I then, with error yet encompassed, cried, O Master! What is this I hear? What race are these, who seem so overcome with woe? He thus to me, this miserable fate suffer the wretched souls of those, who lived without or praise or blame, with that ill band of angels mixed, who nor rebellious proved nor yet were true to God, but for themselves were only. From his bounds heaven drove them forth, not to impair his lustre, nor the depth of hell receives them, lest th accursed tribe should glory thence with exaltation vain. I then, Master. What doth aggrieve them thus, that they lament so loud? He straight replied, that will I tell thee briefly. These of death no hope may entertain, and their blind life so meanly passes, that all other lots they envy. Fame of them the world hath none, nor suffers, mercy and justice scorn them both. Speak not of them, but look, and pass them by. And I, who straightway looked, beheld a flag, which whirling ran around so rapidly, that it no pause obtained, and following came such a long train of spirits, I should ne'er have thought, that death so many had despoiled. When some of these I recognized, I saw and knew the shade of him, who to base fear yielding, abjured his high estate. Forthwith I understood for certain this the tribe of those ill spirits both to God displeasing and to his foes. These wretches, who ne'er lived, one on in nakedness, and sorely stung by wasps and hornets, which bedewed their cheeks with blood, that mixed with tears dropped to their feet, and by disgustful worms was gathered there. Then looking farther onwards I beheld a throng upon the shore of a great stream, whereat I thus, Sir, grant me now to know whom here we view, and whence impelled they seem so eager to pass o'er, as I discern through the blear light. He thus to me in few, this shalt thou know, soon as our steps arrive beside the woeful tide of Acheron. Then with eyes downward cast and filled with shame, fearing my words offensive to his ear, till we had reached the river, I from speech abstained. And lo! Toward us in a bark comes on an old man hoary white with eld, crying, What to you wicked spirits? Hope not ever to see the sky again. I come to take you to the other shore across, into eternal darkness, there to dwell in fierce heat and in ice. And thou, who there standest, live spirit, get thee hence, and leave these who are dead. But soon as he beheld I left them not, by other way, said he, by other haven shalt thou come to shore, not by this passage, thee a nimbler boat must carry. Then to him thus spake my guide, Charon. Thyself torment not, so 'tis willed, where will and power are one, ask thou no more. Straightway in silence fell the shaggy cheeks of him the boatman o'er the livid lake, around whose eyes glared wheeling flames. Meanwhile those spirits, faint and naked, color-changed, and gnashed their teeth, soon as the cruel words they heard. God and their parents they blasphemed, the human kind, the place, the time, and seed that did engender them and give them birth. Then altogether sorely wailing drew to the cursed strand, that every man must pass who fears not God. Charon, demoniac form, with eyes of burning coal, collects them all, beckoning, and each, that lingers, with his oar strikes. As fall off the light autumnal leaves, one still another following, till the bough strews all its honors on the earth beneath. E'en in like manner Adam's evil brood cast themselves one by one down from the shore, each at a beck, as falcon at his call. Thus go they over through the umbered wave, and ever they on the opposing bank be landed, on this side another throng still gathers. Son, thus spake the courteous guide, those, who die subject to the wrath of God, all here together come from every clime, and to o'erpass the river are not loath, for so heaven's justice goads them on, that fear is turned into desire. Hence ne'er hath passed good spirit. If of thee Charon complain, now mayst thou know the import of his words. This said, the gloomy region trembling shook so terribly, that yet with clammy dew's fear chills my brow. The sad earth gave a blast, that, lightning, shot forth a vermilion flame, which all my senses conquered quite, and I down dropped, as one with sudden slumber seized. Canto 4. Broke the deep slumber in my brain a crash of heavy thunder, that I shook myself, as one by main force roused. Risen upright, my rested eyes I moved around, and searched with fixed ken to know what place it was, wherein I stood. For certain on the brink I found me of the lamentable vale, the dread abyss, that joins a thunderous sound of plaints innumerable. Dark and deep, and thick with clouds o'erspread, mine eye in vain explored its bottom, nor could aught discern. Now let us to the blind world there beneath descend, the bard began all pale of look, I go the first, and thou shalt follow next. Then I his altered hue perceiving, thus, how may I speed, if thou yieldest to dread, who still art wont to comfort me in doubt? He then, the anguish of that race below with pity stains my cheek, which thou for fear mistakest. Let us on. Our length of way urges to haste. Onward, this said, he moved, and entering led me with him on the bounds of the first circle, that surrounds th abyss. Here, as mine ear could note, no plaint was heard except of sighs, that made th eternal air tremble, not caused by tortures, but from grief felt by those multitudes, many and vast, of men, women, and infants. Then to me the gentle guide, inquirest thou not what spirits are these, which thou beholdest? Ere thou pass farther, I would thou know, that these of sin were blameless, and if aught they merited, it profits not, since baptism was not theirs, the portal to thy faith. If they before the gospel lived, they served not God aright, and among such am I for these defects, and for no other evil, we are lost. only so far afflicted, that we live desiring without hope. So grief assailed my heart at hearing this, for well I knew suspended in that limbo many a soul of mighty worth. Oh tell me, sigh revered. Tell me, my master. I began through wish of full assurance in that holy faith, which vanquishes all error, say, did e'er any, or through his own or other's merit, come forth from thence, whom afterward was blessed. Piercing the secret purport of my speech, he answered, I was new to that estate, when I beheld a puissant one arrive amongst us, with victorious trophy crowned. He forth the shade of our first parent drew, Abel his child, and Noah a righteous man, of Moses lawgiver for faith approved, of patriarch Abraham, and David king, Israel with his sire and with his sons, nor without Rachel whom so hard he won, and others many more, whom he to bliss exalted. Before these, be thou assured, no spirit of humankind was ever salved. We, while he spake, see is not our onward road, still passing through the wood, for so I name those spirits thick beset. We were not far on this side from the summit, when I kenned a flame, that o'er the darkened hemisphere prevailing shinned. Yet we a little space were distant, not so far but I in part discovered, that a tribe in honor high that place possessed. O thou, who every art and science the lust, who are these, that boast such honor, separate from all the rest? He answered, the renown of their great names that echoes through your world above, acquires favor in heaven, which holds them thus advanced. Meantime a voice I heard, honor the bard sublime. His shade returns that left us late. No sooner seest the sound, than I beheld four mighty spirits door to spend their steps, of semblance neither sorrowful nor glad. When thus my master kind began, mark him, who in his right hand bears that falchion keen, the other three preceding, as their lord. This is that Homer, of all bards supreme, Flaccus the next in satire's vein excelling, the third is Naso, Lucan is the last. Because they all that appellation own, with which the voice singly accosted me, honoring they greet me thus, and well they judge. So I beheld united the bright school of him the monarch of sublimest song, that o'er the others like an eagle soars. When they together short discourse had held, they turned to me, with salutation kind beckoning me, at the which my master smiled, nor was this all, but greater honor still they gave me, for they made me of their tribe, and I was sixth amid so learned a band. Far as the luminous beacon on we pass speaking of matters, then befitting well to speak, now fitter left untold. At foot of a magnificent castle we arrived, seven times with lofty walls begirt, and round defended by a pleasant stream. O'er this as o'er dry land we passed. Next through seven gates I with those sages entered, and we came into a mead with lively verdure fresh. There dwelt a race, who slow their eyes around majestically moved, and in their port bore eminent authority, they spake seldom, but all their words were tuneful sweet. We to one side retired, into a place open and bright and lofty, whence each one stood manifest to view. Incontinent there on the green enamel of the plain were shown me the great spirits, by whose side I am exalted in my own esteem. Electra there I saw accompanied by many, among whom Hector I knew, and Chiasses' pious son, and with hawk's eye Caesar all armed, and by Camilla there Penthesilea. On the other side old King Latinus, seated by his child Lavinia, and that Brutus I beheld, who Tarquin chased, Lucretia, Cato's wife Marcia, with Julia and Cornelia there, and soul apart retired, the sold and fierce. Then when a little more I raised my brow, I spied the master of the sapient throng, seated amid the philosophic train. Him all admire, all pay him reverence due. There Socrates and Plato both I marked, nearest to him in rank, Democritus, who sets the world at chance, Diogenes, with Heraclitus, and Empedocles, and Anaxagoras, and Thales sage, Zeno, and Dioscorides well read in nature's secret lore. Orpheus I marked and Linus, Tully and moral Seneca, Euclid, and Ptolemy, Hippocrates, Galenus, Avicen, and him who made that commentary vast, Averroes. Of all to speak at full were vain attempt, for my wide theme so urges, that oft-times my words fall short of what be chanked. Into the six associates part. Another way my sage guide leads me, from that air serene, into a climate ever vexed with storms, and to a part I come where no light shines. Canto V. From the first circle I descended thus down to the second, which, a lesser space embracing, so much more of grief contains provoking bitter moans. There, Minos stands grinning with ghastly feature, he, of all who enter, strict examining the crimes. Gives sentence, and dismisses them beneath, according as he foldeth him around, for when before him comes th ill-fated soul, it all confesses, and that judge severe of sins, considering what place in hell suits the transgression, with his tail so oft himself in circles, as degrees beneath he dooms it to descend. Before him stand always a numerous throng, and in his turn each one to judgment passing, speaks, and hears his fate, thence downward to his dwelling hurled. O thou! Who to this residence of woe approachest? When he saw me coming, cried Minos, relinquishing his dread employ, look how thou enter here, beware in whom thou place thy trust, let not the entrance broad deceive thee to thy harm. To him my guide, wherefore exclaimest? Hinder not his way by destiny appointed, so 'tis willed where will and power are one. Ask thou no more. Now gin the rueful wailings to be heard. Now am I come where many a plaining voice smites on mine ear. Into a place I came where light was silent all. Bellowing there groaned a noises of a sea and tempest torn by warring winds. The stormy blast of hell with restless fury drives the spirits on world round and dashed amain with sore annoy. When they arrive before the ruinous sweep, their shrieks are heard, their lamentations, moans, and blasphemies against the good power in heaven. I understood that to this torment sad the carnal sinners are condemned, in whom reason by lust is swayed. As in large troops and multitudinous, when winter reigns, the starlings on their wings are borne abroad, so bears the tyrannous gust those evil souls. On this side and on that, above, below, it drives them, hope of rest to solace them is none, nor e'en of milder pang. As cranes, chanting their dolorous notes, traverse the sky, stretched out in long array, so I beheld spirits, who came loud wailing, hurried on by their dire doom. Then I, instructor, who are these, by the black hair so scourged, the first among those, of whom thou questionst street, he replied, or many tongues was empress. She in vice of luxury was so shameless, that she made liking be lawful by promulged decree, to clear the blame she had herself incurred. This is Semiramis, of whom 'tis writ, that she succeeded Ninus her espoused, and held the land, which now the Soldan rules. The next in amorous fury slew herself, and to Sychaeus' ashes broke her faith, then follows Cleopatra, lustful queen. There marked I Helen, for whose sake so long the time was fraught with evil, there the great Achilles, who with love fought to the end. Paris I saw, and Tristan, and beside 1,000 more he showed me, and by name pointed them out, whom love breathed of life. When I had heard my sage instructor name those dames and knights of antique days, o'erpowered by pity, well nigh in amaze my mind was lost, and I began, Bard. Willingly I would address those two together coming, which seem so light before the wind. He thus, note thou, when nearer they to us approach. Then by that love which carries them along, entreat, and they will come. Soon as the wind swayed them toward us, I thus framed my speech, O wearied spirits! Come, and hold discourse with us, if by none else restrained. As doves by fond desire invited, on wide wings and firm, to their sweet nest returning home, cleave the air, wafted by their will along, thus issued from that troop, where Dido ranks, they through the ill air speeding, with such force my cry prevailed by strong affection urged. O gracious creature and benign! Who ghost visiting, through this element obscure, us, who the world with bloody stain embrued, if for a friend the king of all we owned, our prayer to him should for thy peace arise, since thou hast pity on our evil plight. F. Whatsoe'er to hear or to discourse it pleases thee, that will we hear, of that freely with thee discourse, while ere the wind, as now, is mute. The land, that gave me birth, is situate on the coast, where Po descends to rest in ocean with his sequent streams. Love, that in gentle heart is quickly learned, entangled him by that fair form, from me tyne in such cruel sort, as grieves me still, love, that denial takes from none beloved, caught me with pleasing him so passing well, that, as thou seest read, he yet deserts me not. Love brought us to one death, Caina waits the soul, who spilt our life. Such were their words, at hearing which downward I bent my looks, and held them there so long, that the bard cried, What art thou pondering? I in answer thus, Alas! By what sweet thoughts, what fond desire must they at length to that ill pass have reached? Then turning, I to them my speech addressed,